I trust that some of the information that I've gleaned from various people and from books will prove useful in this area of personal organization. And the reason we do call it personal is because it's for me or for you. It deals with us personally. An organization is simply to help us make the most efficient use of all the things that we have. And when I was thinking of organization, what really came to mind was that why we organize is that we may have more time or use our time more effectively. So it really comes down to a matter of use of time. And when we consider time, we perhaps have a little bit of a misconception, because we're always saying, if what I just said, if we just had more time, or if we could slow it down, or statements like this. In actuality, according to the dictionary, time is a period during which action or processes continue. It's not something you buy. It's not something you can slow down or speed up or get more of or give away some of. It's simply a dimension or a measurement. And this makes a difference when you consider it that way, because it's not time that's the issue. It's not that I need to get more time or that I need to slow it down. The problem is with me. It's not with the time. And we can do something about ourselves. So really, that's an encouragement. So it's not something outside of us, and it's not a matter of figuring out how to slow down time, but it's a matter of figuring out how to get me to make the best use of this time. One man has said that we are here to build within God's, to work within God's divine purpose. Among the resources granted for the task, whatever it may be, is a fixed amount of time. Doesn't that put a new light on it? We are here in God's divine plan. And when within that plan, He's given us a resource called time. Now that means whatever God has asked me to do, He's provided the amount of time I need to do it in. I don't need more time, and I don't need to slow down time, because God has provided that which I need to accomplish the purpose He has set for me. And that may be the key there, the task that God has given me, not all the ones that I take on, but the one He's given me. I have enough time to do it. And God sets a high priority on our use of time. In Psalm 90:12, He says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Each day has value. In Colossians 4:5, He says, "Make the best use of your time." And this kind of puts it on us. You know, the decision of how I use my time is really mine. God gives me the time like He gives me other resources to use. And how I use it is my decision. And I'm the one that decides. Ephesians 5:16 talks about redeeming the time. And I think the idea there being that I can waste or I can let slip through this my hands, this resource that God has given to me. So if we can begin to get God's perspective of time, I think we can begin to get a little more sense of urgency about personal organization, not to be bound by it, but that it will free us in fulfilling God's plan for our life, and that's what we all want. And to begin to get the perspective on it, we have to determine what things we value in life. Are they in line with God's value system, or do we know what things we really value? Now, when you value something, it says you consider with respect to its worth, its excellence, its importance, or its usefulness. So when I look at time, or when I look at those things that fill my time, do I ever consider their excellence, their value, their usefulness, their importance? Now this includes all areas of my life. Probably, and I'm thinking right now, is the spiritual. And I think Skip this morning added a great balance there, when he brought in our emotional, our need for the rest. The whole person is involved in this. And I know that many of us very seldom take the time we need for recreation, or what's called recreation, renewal. And this is part of the wise use in valuing those things that are valuable to God. Because one of our resources is the strength that he gives us, along with the time that he gives us. And we need to keep that in mind. So this morning, what I think we'll do first of all, to give us an idea of the things that we value, what we're going to do, and I realize that the summertime is not always the most normal time for many of you, but still some of the basic things that we're involved in will continue each month. So you'll notice on this sheet, you have four parts, and this is based on Luke 2:52. We often talk about the balanced life, and we use this verse. Spiritually, physically, mentally, socially. Predominantly, everything that we do would fit in one of these categories. Now, in part one, what we'd like you to do is list in each area those things that you have done with some consistency in the last 60 days, the last 2 months, June, July, and that you've enjoyed doing to some extent. Now, you'd list just four or five things, like you might have prayer or Bible study, or you might have eating, sleeping in the physical, or reading a new book or news or something like that in the mental. Then in part two, list those things that you feel you should have been doing consistently but haven't been doing. Now, maybe you feel you should have been witnessing to someone every week and you haven't been doing that. Or you just haven't been doing it at all, and you feel you should be. So you would list that in the spiritual. Or you feel you should have been doing a consistent type of exercise, and you haven't been doing that. You'd put that in the second part. Now, in the third part, list one or two things that you feel someone who knows you well, which may be your team leader or your apartment leader, you feel that they think you should have been doing this consistently. Something that they feel you should be doing and you haven't been doing it consistently. That's really the key word. Any questions on that? Then after you have written down these items, in part one, on a scale of 0 to 4, write your satisfaction in what you, in the amount of time you spend in this. Like if you really feel I had adequate time in it, you'd put 4. If you feel, well, I did it consistently, but I would like to spend more time in it, you might put a 1 or 2 or whatever rate you'd want to give it as to the amount of satisfaction of the time that you used. And then in parts 2 and 3, simply put an X by those things that you feel are of equal value as those in part 1. You haven't been doing parts 2 and 3 consistently, but you feel they have the same value, or you'd place the same value on them as the ones that you have been doing consistently. Any questions on that? Okay, let's take some time to do that. That's a physical effort, isn't it? House cleaning?
Just
your own appearance. Personal upkeep, that's right. Okay, any other thoughts in the physical area there that might help us? Okay, what about the mental areas? Reading newspapers, news magazines.
Writing letters.
Yeah. Writing letters could be for some. Someone put, go ahead.
Taking a class.
Mm-hmm. Okay, using others as a resource.
Talking to others to sound kind and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Talking to others about current events.
I think our job is part of the reason why we're
here. Very good. You may even have some staff development on your job, some required reading in some of your departments. Sometimes they send you to seminars or classes. What about reading a secular book like Future Shock? You might even consider Schaefer's books of mental stimulation or spiritual, more mental. tapes could come in on this. Mm-hmm. You can take classes by tapes too, or correspondence courses. So there are many things in that area. What about in the social area? Some things you have done or think you should be doing?
I think at work you can mingle with other people in different departments.
Okay, mingling with other people at work other than just the few that you work with. Entertainment in your home. This could be perhaps Christian and non-Christian. Mm-hmm. Could fit in both. Mm-hmm. An outing like a picnic or a hike. It could be social or it could be in the physical realm. In that area. Good. That'd be in the outing line. Just going out for dinner for the fun of it without the spiritual. And even like with your non-Christian friends, I mean, you desire to share Christ, but you don't have to pounce on them when you have them over for dinner. You know, it's a social evening to get to know each other. And in getting to know you, they will know about Christ. But you want to get to know them. So those are some of the things. Now, have you ranked those? Put an X by the ones in parts 2 and 3 that you feel are as essential as those in part 1, and then kind of set your scale of importance on those in part 1. Okay, when you've done the ranking, take the back of your direction sheet here, and those things in part 1 that you have a low score on would seem to indicate that you place value on them or you feel you should be doing more of them. Now, you may feel the same about some that have a higher ranking, but particularly those indicate you have value. And any of those you place the X beside would indicate value. So what you're going to do now is take those and write them down on this sheet, and that will be a list of priorities. Those are the things that you value. Those are the things that should be a priority in your life because you've just said that you think they're important, that they have worth to you in your life. Now, be honest as you look these over again. Be sure that you're being really honest about it, that you feel they're important. You're not just, you know, saying they're important, but you really feel that way as you look at them. Some of the ones that you have four on, if you really, yes.
Basically the ones that we're not doing.
Basically the ones that you may not be doing or feel that you should be doing more of would be the ones that seem to have a high value to you. Yeah, you may list all of them. Particularly in sections 2 and 3, you might find that most of those you list, although it could be that someone feels you should be doing something that you don't really feel is that key at this time in your life. And remember, priorities can change. So this is what you're saying right now are the things that you're really value. Remember, this should be in all of these four areas, because as you look at this, or at least I looked at mine, I found out, well, one, I had very little social activity, and two, I had very little physical activity other than eating, sleeping, and keeping house. And so what that told me was that I was very unbalanced in my life. So I need to be sure that my priorities include the four areas. After you get this list of priorities, this is where your will comes in. Now, we can look at these things and we can say, I value them. And we can look at them and see that we're not doing them and just go on in that same way. Or we can choose to incorporate these things into our lives. And it is a matter of the will. Remember, Christ said to Mary in Luke 10:42, or said of Mary, she has chosen the good thing. Now, what Martha was doing wasn't wrong, but at that particular time, Mary had chosen the good thing. That which was what Christ wanted her to have in her life. And so we need to make a selection. We've heard this word throughout the conference. We have to be selective. We can't do everything. So if these are our priorities, and this is what we're saying, then we must be incorporating them into our life. You know, Joshua said, "This day choose whom you will serve." And throughout the scriptures, there's this continual reference to choosing. We choose to follow Jesus Christ. We choose to serve God. We choose against ourselves for God. And in this idea of working these priorities into our lives comes the idea of forming habits. And we have good and bad habits, but there's a certain amount of satisfaction in our habits, or we wouldn't do it over and over. Like you get into a habit of driving a certain route to work. The reason you do this is it's shorter, or there's less traffic, or there's something that gives you satisfaction from driving that particular route to work. Or the same thing, the habit of brushing our teeth. You know, it's a habit, you don't think about it, but there is a satisfaction element in it. So in making our habits, there will be satisfaction. Now, we need to determine whether we are satisfied with short-range satisfaction or long-range satisfaction. Because there is a difference. You know, like sin has pleasure for a moment. Gives a short-range satisfaction, but the long-range result, it annihilates us for God. So in forming habits and incorporating these priorities into our lives, we want to develop those habits that will bring long-range results. For example, if you really enjoy fellowshipping with people, and night after night, there are girls in and out, and so you find that night after night, you're talking about the Lord with these girls, you're having a good time of fellowship, it's profitable, but morning after morning, you can hardly drag out of bed, and the time with the Lord gets shorter and shorter, and throughout the day, you get more irritable and more irritable. So you have to make a decision there. In the long-range view, is that fellowship more important than that habit of being fresh for the Lord in the morning, so that when you're with Him, you're really with Him, not just in body, but in mind and in spirit, and He can communicate with you and you with Him. And there's a long-range satisfaction because you're building a lifelong habit of intimacy with Jesus Christ. Now, the fellowship isn't wrong, but which of the two promotes the longest-range satisfaction? So in determining your habits and building these, we may sometimes have to say no to the short-range satisfaction because we want to develop long-range intimacy with Jesus Christ. So the choice is ours. If you have questions as I go along, please feel free to ask them. We have the priorities now. We know we're going to be developing some habits and are getting these worked into our life. So we need to set some objectives related to our priorities. And Jack gave an excellent talk on objectives and be implementing some of that. I had just four guidelines, which are he gave in his message also, that I gleaned from one of Rod Sargent's messages. And the one thing he mentions again is that your objective should be measurable. And in that it must be realistic. Now you say, someone mentioned meditation. They want to begin to meditate on God's Word. So if they set an objective of meditating an hour a day when they haven't been doing it at all, it's not too realistic, is it? You know, maybe 5 minutes would be the place to begin. 5 minutes every other day. But be realistic in your objectives. And then they should be written on your priorities, which he mentioned also. You can write hundreds of objectives, but what we want to do is get these priorities into our life and find out where we're going with them. Then as few as possible, but as many as necessary. Don't overwhelm yourself with 20 to 30 objectives. But use the ones that are necessary for covering what you want to accomplish. Now, he gives a formula on writing an objective, which could become activity-centered. I think you'd have to watch it a little bit after hearing Jack saying, you know, write objectives and not activities. But he uses the word to, and then you put an action verb, then the desired result, and the date. For example, a short-term objective, and there are long-term, intermediate, and short-term objectives. Let's say short-term objective for a week would be to memorize 3 verses by Sunday, is the formula he uses in writing objectives. So you have the word to, an action verb, what you, the desired result, and a date on it. And this would be one way of writing objectives. People, you'll hear many different methods on this. And this is one way, I think, that keeps it simple for us. Sometimes we get extremely detailed and nebulous. But also to keep it objective-centered, not activity-centered. And he also mentioned, and I think Jack mentioned this too, so you get your time with the Lord when you write your objectives. They must come from God, and not just from me. In other words, I want to cooperate with God's plan. I don't want to do my own thing. God's given me time. He's given me other resources. And I want to be in cooperation with Him. So as I write these objectives, I must be with the Lord. And it takes time to really think through, particularly your long-range objectives. So you may get some time with the Lord and write some down. Then you may want to take a week or two and then go back to them again. Give you a little time to see how they settle in your thinking. And then go back to them and get them down settled, to give them a little time to settle there on the objectives. Any questions in that area? As I say, you had a full message on that, so it's a matter of perhaps getting it done. When you have your objectives, both your long range, then your short range ones would go down to however you want to set them, a month or a week or whatever you want to do. And a very old and useful tool is called the do list. Now, you may have a do list for the week or for the even monthly projects, or you may have one by the day. But if you read any books on management of time or use of time, you'll come across the example that some people call the $25,000 secret. Is that familiar to you? The president of Bethlehem Steel and had an efficiency expert in his office and asked him what they could do to improve, and the man says, well, it will take a few minutes, and it will change the production of your entire business. And what he told him was simply, write a list of priorities for each day. Put them in order of priority. Number one, number two, number three. When you come to work in the morning, take out that list. Do number one first, then do number two, then number three. He says, if you only get done number one, you have still done the most important thing that needed to be done that day. And you will start on the others the next day. But that's the do list, in order of priority, so that what you get done was what had to be done that day. So that's a key point, and very simple. We've all used them, but it's a matter of using them effectively. I find that what I do is I'll make a list of things, but I don't necessarily put it in order of priority. And I just start out, and then I look at one, oh, I've got to get that done in the middle of the day. Well, it would have been better to start the day with that. So I need to make my list in order of priority, and then just, you know, you number them or put them one, two, three, however you want to do it. But that's a key in getting it done. Now, so you make your do list. Let's say you make a weekly one. You have so many things that you need to do in the week. Now, remember, this do list will be based on your objectives, which are based on your priorities. You know, that's all incorporated. You're not just putting a bunch of little things. You will have those in there also. It'll include everything you need to do. But your priorities will be on there. And you take a weekly calendar, and there are all kinds of calendars. I've seen ones where you put I think I have one here, all the Sundays in the list and all the Mondays for a month, so that instead of like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday across, you have all the Tuesdays in one row and all the Wednesdays in one row, either up or down, and then you can see every Tuesday what you're doing, every Wednesday what you're doing. Much easier. But take a calendar and incorporate your do list into that calendar. Let's say, well, one thing we must do is wash our hair. This being the physical, it's part of personal upkeep. Okay, now when are you going to get that into your week? Well, it's Wednesday night better. You have a certain time. You know how much time it takes you. Okay, you plan to spend some extended time with the Lord each week. That's a priority you feel. A time in the Word and a time in prayer. And you feel you need that weekly. well, when are you going to get it in? Well, you put it in the schedule at the beginning of the week, not halfway through, try to figure it out. But you've got your do list, then you take your calendar and work your do list into that calendar. So that everything is incorporated and you know when you're going to do it. It saves a lot of time not having to decide which thing am I doing next. But you just, you know, it's set there before you, and that's part of the thing, it frees you. You don't have to keep making decisions of what am I going to do now. But you've already gone through that. You've taken the time to plan it out, and now you can use it. Now, within that calendar, be flexible. Some people I know have, girls tend to, they schedule it up to within 30 seconds. You know, everything is, I have 2 minutes to do this and 3 minutes to do this. And you probably end up frustrated. Because within God's plan are some interruptions. We would call them interruptions, but they're in God's timing. And we need to allow a little flexibility in that calendar. And you just have to judge, knowing yourself, how much time to allow for some things. Like, I have to iron some clothes. Now, it may take me half an hour. Well, I may want to allow 40 minutes or more, you know, by the time I get the clothes and the iron set up. And see, there are other things involved besides just, you know, doing the ironing. So allow some flexibility in your calendar when you put your do list into it. But that's one of the simple ways of doing that. The other thing to beware of is following the path of least resistance. And it's something comes in, you plan to wash your hair, and that's the only knot you have, but there are two or three girls over and you're chatting and you're talking and it's just easier. You know, they're there and you just keep talking. Then it's 10 o'clock at night. You go, should I or shouldn't I? Well, the thing I've done is I've just followed the line of least resistance. Now, I knew what was planned. It was my choice of whether to follow through in that plan. But if I continually follow the line of least resistance, my accomplishments are going to be nothing. I remember one night we were at Bible study, one of the fellows said that they've discovered that people who all their lives have been following this line of least resistance, you know, they never make a decision against themselves, so to speak, that a part of their brain dies off. The decision part is not used, and it begins to die off. And I don't know what book or so on, one of the fellows had read this, and I thought, what a frightening thing. But it would seem like it'd be true if we don't use it. If we're not making decisions, which involve decisions against ourselves, it's just going to die off, like any muscle that's not used. So beware of following that line of least resistance. One of the things that we have problems with is balance. And that's probably why I think, how can I, you know, I know I should do this and this and this. And I don't, at least I haven't come across anyone who has a secret formula on this. And it would seem from all we've heard this week and from what we know ourselves that the key is involved in getting our directions from the Lord, in centering our objectives, our time, and what God wants us to do. And one man has written a few quotes here that I'd like to just read because I think it really hits home where we are. It says, life is meant to be lived from a center, a divine center. And each of us can live such a life of amazing power and peace and serenity, of simplified multiplicity on one condition, if we really want to. Because in that divine center, where the eternal dwells at the base of our being, we bring our programs, our gifts to Him, our offerings of duties performed, again and again they're revised when we're in this center with Christ. And he goes on down further to say that if we center down, as the old phrase goes, and live in that holy silence which is dearer than life, and take our life program into the silent places of the heart with complete openness, ready to do, ready to renounce according to his leading, then many of the things we are doing lose their vitality for us. There is a reevaluation of what we do or try to do, and we know what to do and what to leave alone. Isn't that rich? If we get in that holy silence with Him, we know what to do and what to leave alone. In one of the articles I read was by a missionary, and he was talking about servants, and we consider ourselves as the servants of God. And he was saying now in the States we have mostly mechanical servants, the dishwasher, self-cleaning oven, but overseas you may get more involved with the human element, or human servants, which is what we are for God. He said, now they had a servant, and she dearly loved them. She was just thrilled by being able to work for these people. But she was continually doing jobs that she thought would be worthwhile, but which they didn't ask her to do. In every instance, he says, it was a work of love, but not what her employers wished. It was uncommanded labor, misguided zeal. She painted the washing machine. She whitewashed the kitchen. You know, things that not only weren't a help, but were somewhat of a hindrance. And she did it out of love and real desire for to help the people. And he goes on to say, only God himself knows how many of his servants are busy rushing around here and there, doing this and that, and all out of the goodness and love of their hearts. But it just isn't the work he wishes them to do. And how true of us that can be. That's why we have to get our directions from God. And this means, you know, regularly, because we want His timing. And he used the illustration of Moses when the tabernacle was built, that Moses went up and he waited upon God, and God gave him directions, total directions, all the materials that were needed, the labor that was needed. And when they came down and built the tabernacle, there was no wasted time, no wasted material, no wasted manpower. And so he said that waiting upon God is called spiritual efficiency. And this really is the key to the balance, to our personal organization, is waiting upon God. Because we can get involved in so many different things. And you're all familiar with the book Spiritual Clinic, and in that section he has a portion on the strategic use of time. And he mentions that Christ is our example, and it's said of Christ that he found sufficient time in the 24 hours of the day to do the whole will of God. You know, well, Christ said we're to follow him, and he set an example for us. And if he could find time in the 24 hours to do the whole will of God, it seems as though we should be able to find that time. And that's what our desire is on this personal organization. Another man has said that a truly effective life does not result from getting God to help us, which we're often asking him to do, but that our lives assume maximum worth when we turn our wills over to him and ask that we might be of assistance to his purpose. It's a little different attitude when we say, you know, I'm available, God, for your purpose, and I want to cooperate in your plans. And I want my personal organization to be involved around your plans for my life. In these tools that we have, setting objectives, do lists, calendars, are really tools to help us fulfill God's plans in this world and in our own lives individually. And there, like I say, there are many different tools. I'll pass out another one here in a moment. But another verse, which I think is a good one for each day, or week, or month, or whatever. But Psalm 143:8 says, let me see your kindness to me in the morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for my prayer is sincere. Verse 10 says, help me to do your will, for you are my God. Lead me in good paths, for your spirit is good. So you help me to do your will. Show me what to do, day by day and moment by moment. This last thing I have to pass out here, one girl said, no girl will ever do that. I said, well, that may be true, but I thought it is something you might consider for a future time. And what it is a time analysis. If you really want to see how you are spending your time, it's better to do this after you get into your, you know, your fall situation and you've been in it for a couple of weeks and things are getting settled. And I would recommend 2 weeks to a month. Now that seems like a long time to keep track of it, but hardly ever a week is the same, really. So you need at least 2 weeks to get some kind of a balance. And so there's a little sheet here that's one possible way of doing it. You have every 15-minute period. Now, that sounds like a lot, but really, if you're working 8 hours a day, that takes care of 8 hours right there, you know. And so you can just mark that off. But what you do is in the first column, you put what you plan to do. You know, you do have a plan. You've incorporated it into your calendar. Then the next column is what you actually did during that time, which doesn't always follow the plan. Then these last columns are simply to help you know where the time was spent. Some was on the job, some was in the ministry. Maybe at 8 o'clock what you did was planning for the day while you're at work. Maybe you take from 8 to 8:30 for planning. Then there's personal. So you can see the time you spent, what area you spent it in. Then there's a unaccountable. You don't know what happened during that time. Or some may be other. So that would be just one way of really seeing how you're spending your time. And it can be very revealing because we often think that we really are getting a lot done. Someone has done that before, I take it. It really is. And you find, too, that you might really be able to do more in those 15-minute slots of time. I'm one that thinks I have to have half an hour to an hour to really get anything done. I think that way is my mentality. And it really isn't true. You can get a lot done in a 15-minute or even 5 to 10-minute slot if you learn to think that you can get something done. It makes a difference. And so if you'd like to take one of those. Now, after we find out, you know, how our time is being spent, then here's another way of getting a priority list. And it's just analyzing that time. And so you'd look at those things that you've been doing for 2 weeks, and you'd say, now, some of those things are really very important. They absolutely must be done. And you'd list those. And then you're saying, these are important and they should be done, but they're not as vital as this absolutely must be done. And then over here you put some things, they're not necessary, but they were useful. You know, I could get by without doing it, but they were useful. So I'd list those. And then over here you list some things that you find you really don't have to do at all. They're not needed. They can be eliminated. And then down here you want to determine the urgency of it. Like, it's very urgent, it must be done now. You know, like today, I must do this type of thing. Then there's some short-term things that, you know, within the next 2 weeks, I want to finish reading this article. And then there are long-range things. You know, sometime, like during this year, I would really like to complete a sewing project. Or you may have some items you don't want to put a time limit on. Maybe you're making an Afghan. Those girls have spent years on them. I'm not sure that's the best, but, you know, the time is not a factor. You may want to list them that way. So that would be part of it. Then a couple more categories in that would be like, and this I think is very good, particularly if you're in positions of responsibility and you're working with a team of other people. There are some things that only you can do, which would be, you know, your own personal upkeep, your own personal walk with the Lord. But there are other things that can be delegated to people. And we're often weak on doing that. So as you look at all these things that have been taking time, the resource that God has given you to accomplish His purpose, you want to go through and see what things I must do, what things I can delegate to other people according to their time, according to their abilities, and the ones that you are able to delegate to. Then another thing to consider would be those people you must see. Some people you want to see daily. Some you want to see not daily, but at least 2 or 3 times a week, maybe. Others you want to be sure you see them weekly. Some regularly. You want to be sure you're seeing them like every other week or once a month. And others just infrequently or when you happen to see them. But it gives you an idea of people or you should see or who you should spend time with. And when you're through with this, to get your priorities again, you look at that first column, because that includes the things that you, only you can do, things that absolutely must be done, and they must be done now. And people, well, the people one, you would vary that. But it would give you, again, another way of determining some of your priorities. This would be just another way of time analysis. When you analyze your time there, when you get through and you look at those things and you say, and you see what they are they really what your objectives are? It would be just another way of checking up on that. I think you would have to determine, like on your objectives, if you set them by the semester or if you set them by a six-month period, however it fits your particular ministry. And then it would seem like it would be necessary for me to check it, like maybe monthly. Or I'll forget what objectives I set. You know, if I don't look at them or I don't check up to see if I'm even getting close to them. And what I may need to do after a month's time is reevaluate and see if those really were the objectives that I needed. If I'm not getting close to them, I probably better decide, you know, I'll look them over again and see if I was on the right track at all. But I can make objectives and then put them aside and totally forget about them. So I have to put down, you know, reevaluate or take some time with the Lord and go over this again on probably a monthly basis would be a good one. Let me mention one other comment here. I just noticed I forgot to put it in. It says, we do God a great injustice when we fall into the habit of compulsive overwork. We sin when we pressure out His wishes for assignments that have not been filtered through divine judgment. And I think that's pretty strong, but it can be pretty true of us, that when we compulsively overwork and wear ourselves down, it's a sin in God's sight, because we are misusing the bodies that He gave us to accomplish the work that He gave us to do. We're misusing the time. We're taking on assignments that He didn't even intend for us to take on. That's why we have to keep going back to that center of Jesus Christ and letting Him give us the directions.